Well, that's what we're here to talk about. So we need to decide what it is we want to do with these tools. And then when we confront what we want to do with them, really, you see, Zita would just like to let go of the thing that is holding her locked. This little nagging something down here. Well, as long as you can't eat what you want and you have to suffer through sour grass or sweet grass or whatever you're drinking today, you are doing something, and you're usually doing something you don't really like to do, and therefore you note that you're doing it, when she and everyone else would be better off just to go live. Do you like having to count the type of protein grams you're eating? Do you like to have to decide, well, I can't have this butter because it's high in cholesterol? Well, wasn't it okay for the cow? Didn't God do a pretty balanced job? And how am I going to know that they're not going to say that this that I'm doing is poisoning me? And that's more apt to be. And you're going to be the victims of pulse action. You're not going to be able to respond well to some of the increased intensity of the pulses. When they turn, they're not turning up the frequency, they're turning up the intensity. There's nothing bug-wise wrong with Dorma. But her system cannot stand the higher intensity. And they're focused on some of you to get a response. And I find it totally acceptable because I think you need to experience it and it's not going to hurt you. You've got to stop worrying. You see, I was able now to take this a little bit further and watch. Several people got sick. What is sick? Well, Brent will tell you what sick is. That's when you're running from both ends and you can't get to the bathroom except on your hands and knees slithering because you're so sick. With others, it was, I can't get out of the bathroom. I dare not. And all of you studying hypnosis or whatever you're going to study, whether you're going to do a massage or you're just going to sit and visit, if someone says, I'm going to throw up, I think, or I need to go to the bathroom, you better believe them. It's not in their mind always. This is a typical smooth muscle response. And it could be from any number of things, from a dose of bad water that brings parasites. So keep up your electrical boxes. If you don't want to go through the parasite cleansing program regularly, you just got hit with a batch of bad water in this village. And it ordinarily would not bother too much, even the people, because they're just, that's just a little more cryptosporidium and whatever virus it's hauling around with it this week. But for you who've been on these boxes and things, you're pretty well cleaned out, so that just the organism trying to find its root will make you sick. And that will pass, not to be a pun. But it can dehydrate you, debilitate you, and knock you off your pegs. And that leaves you open for severe attack by whatever virus it's carrying. It will hit sometimes like food poisoning. No. Food poisoning hits rapidly, and it will hit in the stomach first. It doesn't hit you 24 hours later like it did Dorma. So everyone's trying to figure out, what did I have, what did I have, what did I have? And, well, it couldn't be this because so-and-so had something else. And you try to figure out what it is. Well, yes, you need to try to figure out what it is. But around here, you have had an outbreak of plague, whether you realize it or not. So try not to get flea-bitten. But the important thing is not to respond foolishly. Don't just react. And don't hesitate 1 minute to take the whatever is available to stop the cramps, stop the diarrhea after a certain amount of time because it will get debilitating. And then it starts its own cycle where then everything you put in, it rebels to. Begin to listen to your body. And that's why, another reason I'm going through this exercise, I want you to begin to be able to just sit quietly and get within your body. And I know that some of you are so angry with your body, you don't want to get in there because no matter what you think you do, it stirs up again. And yet you cannot be allowed to just let it go. You have to look at each thing that happens to you very carefully because you do not want any disease to get out of control. You have neither the time nor the need for that anymore. And I'm just not one to sanction all of this. I don't want to call it foolishness because if it works, it works. But you don't have to eat the pepper tree to get healed. Or you don't have to eat the entire garden of cayenne pepper to make yourself incredibly sicker than you were. You're going to have allergic reactions to things. It's there. It's going to happen. But most people have their favorite thing. You don't even realize it's your favorite thing. So before we take this little break, I would like for each of you, specifically Claudia, because she has something that can be cleared up. Who's perfectly suitable? When it happened, and it happened. It's no longer necessary. Zita can let go of this little nagging that maybe it's not all gone. And the doctors, the more you run to them, the more they will tell you, you should have come back. And I don't know any way for you to totally overcome that. Neither do I know any way for you to become comfortable, because if you don't go back and you come up with another lump, you should have gone back. So we all just have to walk through this physical experiencing. And if you don't have any big problem with whatever is plaguing you, then you don't need to do anything about it. So we use whatever tools we can get. Sometimes you have to be sick. Sometimes I have to make you sick because I need you to get quiet a minute. And the minute Dorma goes to get quiet, everything in the world breaks loose. This is the time to go over the law cases. The minute we open a book, this is the time to do this other. Oh, my goodness, has Gondriana been fed? What are we doing in here with Commander? This is life, is what's happening. So you're going to have to, and as much as anything, I'm doing this because I need her to hear me. I don't care what other people say. I don't care what EJ says to her, or Pablo, or anybody. Unless the bird is dying, don't bring it to me right now. I'm going to listen to this tape. I am going to get relaxed. I think the most excellent one I've heard since the one we did, which was a clearing tape, is the one we just brought back, and Rick can make us some copies. When we first started doing this and I started visiting, some of you will remember we always played the clearing tape. It took a few minutes, but we cleared our space. We got with it. We were relaxed and we enjoyed ourselves. Can you imagine what would happen if I played that tape on Sunday afternoon with our enemy in the crowd? They don't call themselves a cult and they're all laying all over the floor in there while he is mind controlling them. Well, I guess if we have a course on hypnosis and I just happen to be the teacher, I guess we can listen to that tape, can't we? It's part of the program. And we're just having some classes. Going to learn a little meditation, whatever we want to call it. We're just finding ourselves so uptight these days. We need to learn a little relaxation. And if it's a master's course, so be it. You don't have to accept your degree when you get it. You don't have to enroll in the course. But I don't want anybody coming in here who's not willing to participate fairly regularly telling me how to run my course. And this is what has happened with my paper and my books and my speaking and my everything that I do. There are so many ones telling me how to do it. And my standard answer is, if you knew so damn much, why didn't you fix it before I had to get into it? And if you know so much about this subject, why don't you go teach it and let Gil Boyne have a vacation? Who would like to come up here and experience just a moment, just a brief moment before we go? Wally. Plagues upon my house. Well, she doesn't function at all. To heck with it.
Down on the floor.
Just why don't you get up? Let's see if you open your eyes. And maybe let's get a little better balanced here. Okay. Sleep. Took a long time. One step back and sit down. Just go deeper. Deeper. I just wanted to make that little demonstration to let you see that there truly is something to the technique. If any one of you just walked up here and she said, sleep, you see, it isn't a matter. He laughed. Yes, of course he laughed. He is not asleep. He responded and instantly didn't want to fall on her and push her down. And yet she was braced. Did you notice the footwork? One of the quickest ways to get a person into a trance, into a state of hypnosis in the beginning state, is exactly what I did. Get them focused on something and then pull them off balance.
Physically.
But you better be ready, because some of them will just absolutely collapse on you. And the ideal thing is to talk with the person and say, have you ever been hypnotized? And you go through a whole routine. And that is the way that teaching has to be. You teach it correctly. So we need to know how much teaching we need to do. Because this becomes impressive, and Sandy sees herself, well, I'll just ask someone, you know, like John Swofford to come in, and I'll just say, sleep, and he will fall on me, and we will be there forever. And he would just look at her. Wally already knows how to control his own body through this route of meditation. And he would tell you right now, he's hearing every word more clearly, more quietly. Quit shaking your head and agreeing. You're supposed to be out. He's not out. He's enjoying himself. He's relaxed, he's comfortable, and he's in love. He's in a state of love. Because when all those other conscious things go out, hate goes, worry goes, trouble goes, and only love is left. And I wanted to leave him with that. And consequently, I'm not going to call him to his full alertness. Let's just count from 1 to 3 instead of 1 to 5. And let's leave him in this nice feeling, but alert. 1, slowly, easy, calmly, come on back to the here and now. 2, 3, open your eyes and remain comfortable. Remain comfortable and in love.
So be it.
So be it. Let's take a break. Go ahead and start, or what? I have no idea what anybody's schedule is, and obviously this isn't going to work well.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it's way past time.
Commander, this scheme is not going to work well.
We're here.
Oh, the phone calls were just stacked up at home, and we've got, what, 8 lawsuits going on, and everybody is having a breakdown out there.
We're all having
fun. Bring them in. Put them to sleep.
I think that's probably why I'm getting my training, so that Commander can teach me control. It is so hard to sit across the table as close as from you to Paul and not just not horn on his ass. And he is so afraid I will. He won't look at me, you know. And especially if he's going to talk about the subject, whatever that subject is. And he knows that I've got a good one to get even with him. Yeah! He keeps slipping and calling me a psychotherapist.
Psychotherapist. There was a cartoon in the paper that had the guy on the door that said psychotherapist. He was saying that's supposed to be one word.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to do. Next, I'm going to bring a complaint against him for calling me psycho. Oh, that poor old sucker. I have come about 180 degrees around to be able to not refer to him as worse. He scares me. Anybody that bad scares me. They just radiate this, I don't know, it's a dark, just it's like this going out for me, you know.
We are on tape.
Oh, okay. I don't know whether to beep beep or knock knock or. We're into the afternoon now. And yes, I hear. I hear very well, and I see. I see very well. And to pull in something new, even if it's fun, into an already overloaded schedule is more than some people can handle. And it's extremely difficult to hit a time when everyone has freedom to be able to attend. I have felt that this particular subject has not been so terribly important up until now, so that I certainly would not suggest that anyone interrupt a regular schedule if you have career appointments, family appointments. And to you who think that you hear well enough to receive the masters, I have to tell you, you don't. You're not that good yet. And if we're going to move on past and into some of the phases that we need to mature. We have to learn to hear. We have to learn to interpret a little bit about what we hear. If I say something to her, only she can interpret what she hears me say. And usually I can eventually get through, but sometimes it's difficult. And the more preoccupied each of you are, the harder it is to reach through and allow you to hear what is actually being said or offered. It seemed a hard goal when we would speak 5, 6, 8 hours with only a 10 or 15 minute break. And this was in the beginning when Tesla came. There was a little bit of overcoming the panic for fear I, as her teacher, was somehow, well, let's put it where the feeling is, dumping her into somebody else's lap that she didn't particularly like. It is not a matter of disliking Mr. Tesla. Mr. Tesla was and is, no matter what realm you find him, eccentric. That's his prerogative. He's a knowledgeable scientist, very, very little patience, and scared to death of your environment. He began to be reclusive because he was scared to death that he was going to die of some man carrying disease before he could get everybody wiped out with his phasers and lasers, you see. And, of course, I tease about that. But that's where it came to. And surely enough, it fell into the wrong hands. And he could see, even back in those days, that without some careful guidance, man would do exactly what man has done. And that is take the unique technologies that are the gift to man and turn them into weapons. And you have a situation where he offered Westinghouse opportunities. He offered the United States government opportunities. He offered even J.P. Morgan, the banker, opportunities. Finally took his major opportunity when he was declined everywhere. Nobody would pay him anything, and the man has to live too. There is a value to something, and there is an expense to research. So he took it to Russia. They listened. And they have cosmospheres. Well, to whom did he take it to begin with? Mr. Westinghouse was not a Khazarian flip out. But he got controlled. And then finally you end up in a commercial world. And you certainly don't want someone who can stop a war that you are paying to begin. And you certainly don't want him winning a war that you have invested in losing. So when Mr. Tesla began to come to visit Dorma, this was okay as long as I was there. But when I removed myself, she thought I had deserted her, so she wasn't so friendly with Mr. Tesla either. And he would come, and he needed somebody, so he just moved in. You know, 8 hours later, it's snowing, and he's perfectly happy. He's never had it so good. And all of these things have their purpose. And somehow, throughout this period of time, the different energy flow begins to be recognized. And you stop allowing an alien energy in. You stop it at the door when it knocks. And although you think you recognize it, and sometimes all you have to do is think you recognize it, open the door and let it in, pretty soon, if you have learned your lessons properly, you will hear what is being offered. And you will know by the content, if not by the energy. Energy can be matched. Your teachers are going to test you constantly. The mission is too important not to test you constantly. And after a while, you don't even mind the testing because it becomes so habitual for you to clear your space, check out those energies, and before you let another one in, you're going to decide even whether or not you're ticked off at that one. It took a long time for Dharma to be able to entertain Germaine. She got hurt. Germaine just gave her information. But she got insulted, sued, threatened with jail, and now we've come the whole cycle back to a man who says, we must get this information out there. Well, I'll pat her on the head, you know, and say, okay, you don't have to worry about that anymore. We don't need to do that. If that needs to be done, then it can be worked out between Tom Astley and US&P, or whatever route we choose to take, or we can rewrite it, or we can let it go. Let it go. Can we let that information go? Of course we can let it go. It's already out there. The Pleiades Connection series is out there. And we have no claim to it. We offer anyone who... It's anyone who wants to use it may use it. Who has it? They can copy it, spindle, mutilate, burn it, trash it, whatever you want to do with it. And about the time that she makes up her mind that it's okay, doesn't matter, then she gets a letter like the one that came last evening from someone who was given the greatest gift, he said, of his life. He considered some of these people total loonies. And someone gave him a copy of the Sacred Spirit Within. Now that was dedicated to our beloved Red Brother. Didn't have that much of anything from anyone. Like Russell, for instance, yes, he was referred to. We hold Russell in greatest, greatest esteem. But that was amply made clear. These are journals. These are as a diary. These are daily writings. We're not in competition with somebody else. It is like believing in Jesus Christ and were that the right energy to believe in, have you no right to use the Bible? If you have the theory of relativity right or wrong, it becomes a scientific accepted fact as a theory or a law of physics. So you have a right to use it with or without recognition because it's there, it exists. And every time you use the law of relativity, right or wrong, you do not say necessarily Einstein's theory of relativity. Maybe you should, because it would automatically indicate to the true scientists of the world that it's wrong. That it cannot play itself out in proof to its smallest denomination. And physics does. And yet, if you're already in illusion, what does it make any difference? How can it make a difference? Whether it's off or not? Whether it's right or wrong, if you are in an illusion, can you not take what is there and turn it into the truth? No. Because two lies don't make a truth. Two wrongs do not make a right. And therefore, mathematically, you cannot assume a right will come from working with all these wrong things. It doesn't mean that some things will not be correct, but it means you cannot use that as a law of universal physics. You once must learn to hear because there will be times when you need to hear quickly, and how better to hear quickly than to make a time that maybe you that you take a time for yourself to lie down, listen to a tape, be quiet, be silent, long enough to see if there's any nagging little something. It doesn't mean you have to take up your pen and become the new scribe. You do whatever you feel like doing. And I would say for this particular group, you may be a brilliant writer, but that's not where your brilliant writing is needed. You know, this is not a place for 25 brilliant writers, unless you're going to contribute that to the newspaper, and there's a limit to how much can go into a newspaper. And it would be wonderful if all we had to do was just teach meditation, as some of the gurus can do. That is their life. That is their job. Today, I am encroaching on everyone's job, and everyone is going to have to double up just to make up for the time I'm taking in this room. And yet everyone would say, but we would rather be doing this. I understand that. But once again, life is what is going on while we are hoping and trying to evolve. And if we stop our responsibility to one thing to go play in another, we've not met our responsibility. So we'll decide what we want to do with it or how we want to go about it as we go along, because there are some other tools that can be offered without having to bite off the whole cow to chew and swallow. And maybe sometimes you will find that one tool is better and more quickly utilized than another. You see, we could go into neuro-linguistic programming, and I want to tell you that is deep yogurt. And yet we have the very teachers available that are masters at that, and that's Fritz Perls. You see, it's frogs into princes. Well, unfortunately, the way this is being used is princes into frogs or toads. So we have to be very careful to not play with the things that are going to set up triggers. When you're trying to get rid of something, or you're trying to break a habit, or you're trying to visualize something, it's good to anchor some of those visions so that each time you bang your knee or whatever you do consciously brings up immediately a picture. This is extremely effective for dealing with phobias. You're going to have to confront the thing that you are frightened of. Be it a little space, be it heights, be it whatever. Going outside, whatever it is that truly terrifies you. I'm talking about terror, because a phobia will start as a little discomfort, but something will happen and you will be triggered into terror. Sometimes it's water, sometimes it's fire, and it's these phobias being reinforced, and especially if they come over the border of the birth, that can begin to do you in as you move on into your own particular mission. And the longer you have experienced, the greater numbers of times you have served, the larger variety of things you have to fear. If you have been stabbed, hanged, drowned, poisoned, you name it, then there are going to be many, many things, especially if you're playing between dimensions in the mind, that are going to trigger this, oh my God, I can't bear that. I can't go near a fire because I'm going to just pass out. I can't go near the ocean because it's going to drown me. Your reasoning brain says that's absurd. Don't go stick yourself in the fire. Don't go jump in the volcano. but it doesn't mean you have to be afraid of sitting in front of the fireplace. So this is the difference in a phobia. A phobia is something that causes you to dis or malfunction. And we can walk over some of those things. Then one of the nicest tools that there is to use is pure dream work. And that springs more out of neuro-linguistic programming than it does out of just hypnosis. Everybody who gets to be anybody is going to analyze your dream. No. There's only one person can analyze your dream. And if I'm trying to get a message to you, I'm not trying to get it to your analyst. I'm not interested in what your analyst thinks. I'm interested in what you respond to. And he doesn't know. Well, most of the time, if you're running away, it's because you're scared to death, you're going to get caught, and you're insecure, and you're all of these things. Well, I would hope so. And nighttime is a time for you to dream, rebalance, restructure, toss out data, put it over here, categorize, sort, and rest. The mind does not stop. And if there are elements you need to look at, or there are elements that are just in the forefront, or there are elements even in the background that you keep stuffing down, they'll keep popping up. A repeated dream is one of the most important things that you can have. And it doesn't mean a whit to anybody else. I don't want you to jump ahead there and say, well, maybe I'm getting psychic. Oh, I just dreamed someone killed a little girl. And I get tired of this with the earthquake pronouncers. And this would be true of Scallion included. Everybody included. Oh, I have this headache today. We're going to have an earthquake. Well, where? Well, let me see. And I will face east. Then I will face south. And wherever I feel the strongest pull and my head hurts a little stronger, I'm pretty sure it's going to be in that direction. Well, you're going to hit it a fourth of the time because somewhere out there in that direction there will be an earthquake if it takes 360 degrees around to get there. So let's be careful with the silly games we play. That doesn't mean that there aren't those who sense something, know something, and it truly is insightful. But don't play games about it. Because a prophet is right 100% of the time. Don't forget that. 85% does not cut it. A good guesser can come off with 50%. If you become sensitive to what you're receiving from another person, you're going to hit their life pretty substantially because there is a norm. There's a norm. In this world anymore, I could sit here and I could hold your hand and I could say, well, I believe you. I see it now. You came from a broken home. Didn't you? Is there someone in your life that starts with an M? Mother, maybe? So you can watch the little responses. That does not mean that psychic insight is not there. It means you have to be discerning. I don't like the poo-pooers any more than the ones who will believe anything. And there is great meaning in the astral signs simply because they became signs of something. Something that could be averaged. Something that could be worked out based on something higher than just imaginings. And yet over myriads of years, legends and myths or hand-me-down, and even oral tradition gets lost in the myth that surrounds it. But hidden there somewhere in each myth is a fragment of the truth that made the myth. So we have to be able to look at things objectively and subjectively. And then from the subjective and the objective realization, we can begin to put our life into explicitness and set aside implicit, which means I expect you to misunderstand, because this is an innuendo, this is an inference, this is an insinuation. This is implicit. If I say, well, let's get back here around one, that is not the same thing, is it? As if I say, be here by one, please. At 1 o'clock, we're going to start. Everybody understands that in this room. But everybody has a right to misunderstand it if I say around one. So there are times when it doesn't matter. But if my ship is going to leave at 1 o'clock and I say be here at one, and you decide today is the day that I'm being implicit, you're going to miss it, because we may not have time to wait. And I'm not interested in what the world hears out there. I'm interested in us in this room communicating. Because when we can communicate, that means we're getting far enough along the line that we trust each other enough, number one, to bother to communicate. We will stop setting the other one up for an implicit response. And we'll start being more accurate. And most of you will find that you fit into the category of, well, I don't want to push anybody around or boss anybody or... You see, you're caught between the devil and the deep blue sea, so to speak. If I say, be back here at 1 o'clock, then I am that